Hey, beautiful people. This is Nkechi, and I'm just hopping in to set the scene. You are currently listening to How to Demolish Your Limiting Beliefs. There are over 15 plus episodes in this particular series, so make sure you get a listen to all of them. As well, don't forget to subscribe so you're notified every single time we drop a new episode. And make sure you join our community by becoming a member at www.nkechi.club. That's N-K-E-C-H-I.club. All right, let's go ahead and get into the episode, and I'll see you guys on the other side. Enjoy.
It was a crazy week. And they're either the kind of person that can extend that grace, or they're not, and it is what it is, because I don't have a time machine, and I can't change stuff like that, you know? But I just say that to say, there are people who don't know what to do with their energy. They don't know what to do with their anger. I have people all the time that try to, there are people that before I start this room, they know I've been starting this room at 11 a.m. EST for literally the last 3-4 months. Oh, my girl, Olivia's here. They know I've been starting this room up for like the last 3-4 months at 11 a.m. EST. You know what they'll do? I can literally tell who's my ride or die based on when they call me. Some people will call me literally at 10:55 a.m. EST specifically when they know my energy needs to be like set in a certain way, and they'll add negativity. And I've learned over time to be so cognizant of that, because I also have friends that call me just before, just to make sure that my energy is good. And they're like, hey boo, how are you doing? Did you eat breakfast? How's it going? And I love those people. But then there's people that will literally call to take the energy because they know my energy will be high just before this room starts. You know what I mean? Just before and they want to be able to come and take some of that energy. They need it for themselves. I've learned to peep so meticulously that I'm highly unapologetic when I let a call go to voicemail. I'm highly unapologetic when I do not answer a message. You think I don't want to have a billion friends? You think I don't want to message and talk all day? Of course I do. I just know I only have so much energy. I have to be careful. So when it comes to people trying to bring negativity into your space, it comes back to self-love. I love myself enough to know that whether or not you're my friend tomorrow, I'm my friend. And that's really all I need, because it's all I've ever needed. When I was going through my work, ask yourself, when you were going through your worst times, think about the times that you were at your lowest. When you were going through your worst times, your lowest moments, it was just you and the crickets. When I realized that about myself, my worst times, the people that chimed in the most, the people that talked the most, they weren't there. But when things are good, they're right back there. They're right back to talk. They're right back there to apply their limiting beliefs. They're right back there to add their own 2 cents. They got a first-class flight to come and see now, because you have some positivity that they can feed off of. Because you have to understand that there's always an exchange going on. When people come to feed you negativity, it's because they're exchanging that negative energy. They don't know how to transmute it. So what do? They bring that negative energy to you, and you think it's just an argument, but you don't realize there's a soul bond that's occurring in that moment. And what they're doing is they're giving you that negativity because in exchange, they're taking away your positivity. And instead of them learning how to transmute their negative energy into positive or useful energy, they learn to take it, to give it away so that they can take from you. Because as that smile Vampires. That you had, thank you. As that smile that you had dissipates, you think it's dissipating. It's not dissipating. It's that the energy, the positive, the loving energy on you is leaving your body and it's going to them. Not today. One thing about Nkechi, she gonna hang up that phone. One thing about me, I will not on a phone I pay for. Some of y'all been cussed out on a phone you pay for before. For what? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, some of y'all have been cussed out on a phone that you pay for. Some of y'all been cussed out underneath of a house that you pay for, under a roof that you pay for. I remember the first time when I saw two grown women fight. It was somebody trying to force their way into a house that I lived in at the point. And the matriarch of that house, she was a demon, but she did not play. She was a horrible person, but she didn't play it by her respect. That's one thing I'll say. She just couldn't control her other demons. That was the problem. But I remember the first time somebody tried to insult her at her doorstep. She grabbed this person by the chest and pulled them in. She said, "Nah, insult me inside the house. Don't insult me outside the house. Insult me inside the house where nobody can see what I'll do next." Without being toxic, you have to learn to take the traits from the traumas that you've seen and apply it accordingly. Because they may not have been right 1,000% of the time, but there might have been 0.005% that they were right. And in that moment, nobody will sit underneath of a roof. It would have been the opposite response for me, though. I would have drug you out my house. You can't be in my house yelling at me. I pay for all of this. You can't be in my house yelling at me. It's just not going to work. But I just say that to say, don't allow somebody to make you pay for their bad decisions. And it's not always in the ways that you think you're paying. Sometimes it's just them screaming and you allowing them to scream. You won't raise your voice at me. It's just not going to work. I'll hang up. I'll just hang up the phone. You can yell at the ether. You can yell at the dial tone if you want. Anyway, let's go ahead and continue. Hey, welcome Olivia and my girl Michelle. My girls Olivia and Michelle onto the stage. Love you, sisses. We are in the thick of it right now. And next up, we got Colleen. Colleen, are you still here?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thank you for your mistake. Thank you for your patience, love. What's on your mind, sis?
Okay, I just wanted to talk a bit about integrity. So when I transitioned, I realized right off the bat that the reason I did that, the reason I chose that path was because I wanted to live in my life with integrity. And so integrity in all things became extremely important to me. In other words, vital. So about 4 years ago, I opened an Etsy shop where I make clergy vestments for radically inclusive clergy. It's called Divinely LGBT. And over those 4 years, first I started with stoles, which are fairly simple, and I've added other products since then, the best of which, or the most expensive of which, are garments known as albs, which are basically a type of robe. And I recently had an order for the most complex design of one of these albs. And when I made the first one, I actually, a friend of mine handed me his alb and he said, I'd like this made in linen. So I actually reverse engineered his alb and created my own pattern. But this new order was for an alb for a petite woman, which meant I had to drastically resize the pattern downward. And long story short, I made several attempts and ran into a hard limit on my abilities because I'm self-taught in sewing. And I realized that there was no way I was going to be able to make that alb for this client to a standard that she'd be happy with. So when I realized that, I mean, I'd already missed the delivery date. I'd already apologized to her once. And I thought, what's the most important thing here to me? What would look like a win? And to me, a win is a happy customer. Every review on my shop so far is a 5-star review. I have never had a dissatisfied customer, and this is the first time something like this had ever happened to me. So I sent her a message explaining the situation and offered her two options: either a full refund plus a 50% discount on a stole she might order in the future, or a 50% refund and an alb of a simpler design. And she chose that one and said to me, don't feel bad about it. So I know that she will walk away with an alb, and that'll cost her less than what she originally paid. I will have a happy customer. And to me, that looks like a win. You know, I just decided I had to own the problem. I had to find a way to create a situation where I would still have a happy customer. So that's my share, and I'm complete.
I like the fact that what your main takeaway was is that you had to own the issue. And I think that that stems a lot from the fact that you've done so much inner work that you're not blinded. Like as you were talking, I was thinking about the four agreements and how one of them, I think it's actually the first one, that's don't take it personal. And that's a huge ask, because a lot of people end up taking things personal because they have such a robust pain body, such a touchy ego, that even in a situation that is actually about their limitations, they will find a way to twist it and make it about somebody else's limitations. One of the things that I want to highlight is the first thing you said is, I'm self-taught. First thing that you did was highlight the fact that, hey, there's this is a sign that there's more to learn. And then on top of that, you took it even further still, because what's the number one rule of customer service? The customer is always right. And I hate that rule. I hate that rule because it's always people that are wrong. And I know it within my soul. You can carve it on my tombstone. I know they're wrong. However, how do you deal with it? It was because you reached out and you were transparent. And in response, again, they were able to give what you gave. You gave them grace, so they were able to offer grace in return. Some people are so depleted in grace that if you give them grace, they just swallow it up and they can only give you anger because they're so depleted that they don't have any more grace to give back. Because there are some people you call on that and boy, you're about to hear about your entire life history. They're about to tell you about your ancestors too. But if it's in dealing with the right person, you end up with that kind of experience where you're able to say, yes, there's still more for me to learn. You're able to walk away with that lesson without an additional trauma to it. So I think that was a really cool share, Colleen. I think that was a really cool share, Colleen. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. That was a great lesson. And what path are you using to kind of learn a little bit more about that? Are you self-teaching some more? Are you watching videos? Like, what are you doing? What's the action points?
Well, for now, I'm going to make sure that if I get an order for that from a woman, I'm going to say it's only available in men's sizes, unfortunately. But I will take the action to learn more about how to make patterns and how to modify them. This was a pattern with pleats in the front and back, and a very difficult pattern to begin with, and probably far beyond what I should have been able to do. But I've always been able to do whatever I set my mind to. So I'm going to make sure that eventually I can design a pattern that will be correct in whatever size I make.
I love that. I love the power in that statement. Colleen, you're awesome. You're awesome. Thank you so much for that share.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing. It's Yvette. Is it okay if I just quickly say, hey,
yeah,
hey.
And
by the way, I literally have been on back-to-back Zooms and calls and literally working this entire time, but I've been listening in the background and it's been just so powerful. I just really want to just say hello to Colleen and acknowledge Colleen for that. Just such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful share. I've been privy, as well as Dan and some others in here, to be on a journey with Colleen, just hearing her story. And Colleen, that was just so gorgeous, and the patterns, all of that is such a gorgeous metaphor for your journey. So I just wanted to add that, and perhaps you could add that as you craft and recraft your stories, that perhaps that metaphor can be something that you add to your story. So I just wanted to add that for Colleen. Thank you for letting me chime in.
Absolutely, and that was a great chime. Did you catch that, Colleen?
Yes, I did, and thank you very much.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, I love it. I love the energy, man. All right, so next up we have Jesse. Jesse, are you still here?
Yes, I am, and Jesse, I am here.
Awesome, what's on your mind?
Thank you so much. I just definitely want to honor all of the beautiful shares that have been shared on this call today. It's 1:18 p.m. where I am, and I've just been listening for the past few days, but since I've gotten on the app, I've always just paid attention to you and Ketchy, and I have to say that you are an amazing soul. And so all of us are, and for me, my story began because I needed surgery. I'd always thought that I was okay, but I knew that there was something quite not right with me, because I have four beautiful daughters, all grown now, but I could be the nicest person, but yet you cut me off in the highway and I would become enraged. And there was one time with my daughter in the car, she was like a freshman in college, and there was this black Jeep that almost ran us off the highway, and I could see it was two young girls that were in the truck. And I became so enraged till I trailed that truck, and I played tag with that truck, driving the highway 65, 70 miles per hour in the rain. Yes, there was something wrong with me. But I didn't know what it was until I had that surgery, and I had to sit still for 3 weeks. And this happened about 2 years ago. And when I did, life came crashing down on me. But it was the universe's way of waking me the hell up that there was something wrong and you need to take a look at you. So when I crashed to the floor, for 3 days I sobbed because I realized it was because of my childhood and I never felt nurtured or mattered. My father always told me that he had more Christianity in his baby finger than I had in my entire body. He lined us up, all of us. Wow. It was about five of us at the time. Sat us down in the middle of the floor and said to all of my siblings what he thought they would be. But when he got to me, he said, "You probably are not going to amount to anything."
Wow.
Because you don't know how to keep your mouth shut. So as a little girl, you know, growing up, knowing that going to school and the teachers would say you were smart, but then some of them were mean because I didn't come from a family of wealth. We grew up, it was nine of us, and we didn't have a whole lot, so we had to share things. As a matter of fact, I became a queen of knowing how to wear high heels because of my siblings, so I started wearing jeans and high heels because I could only wear my mom's shoes. Talk about a fashion statement. But at any rate, what happened to me when I got up off that floor is I started having flashbacks of my childhood and what had happened to me, but I also had flashbacks of...
Hey, loves. Welcome to the other side. I hope you're enjoying the journey so far. If there are episodes you haven't listened to yet, make sure to check them out next. And if you haven't already, make sure you visit us at www.nkechi.club to join our community by becoming a member. That's nkechi.club. As well, don't forget to subscribe so you're notified every single time we drop a new episode. I hope that something you heard today touched you. And until the next time, please remember, you are loved, you are valued, and we couldn't do this without you.